We have two people coming in from the borough, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. They're going to be talking about the background details of something that's on the ballot in tomorrow's election, October 4th. First of all, the gentleman on my left, introduce yourself, please.
I'm Hugh Leslie, the Recreation and Library Services Manager for the borough.
Okay, and to my right?
Good morning. Eric Phillips, Community Development Director for the borough.
Okay, and you two have come in because you've been doing a lot of work on a lot of different things, but I'm told that you have pretty much the good information about what this bond proposition is that's on the ballot. And which one of you would like to begin? Okay, go for it.
I'm happy to, and thank you for inviting us to come here this morning. Essentially, bond package B4 is going to do several things. The first and foremost on the list is to repair and revitalize the two existing pools, Wasilla and Palmer.
Right.
Also, do some much-needed repair work at the Brett Ice Arena, fund 9 trail projects, and then some additional recreation projects in the northern part of the borough in Willow and Talkeetna.
Oh, that's a lot. I mean, you've said it succinctly, but that's a lot of work. And let's start with the pools, because the pools are my, both of them are my favorite places, actually. I have a long association. I have a lot of relatives that have spent a lot of time in the pools, and I know that they're old. They've been there a long time. And I also know in talking with people over the years that pool maintenance, pool, the whole thing is it requires attention to detail and work. How is it that the pools are in the state they're in? Maybe that's the place we want to begin with. I'll switch over. Yes, go for it.
I guess what I would say is one pool was built in 1980. The other one was built in 1982. And if you've been out the pools, for being 35 plus years old, they're not in that bad a shape.
Okay.
But what's occurred is 35 years in a humid, chlorinated environment has essentially rusted out valves, pumps, motors, everything after, 35 years in that environment. So,
sure.
If it were a car, it would be a 1982 vintage car with 400,000 miles on it.
Okay.
We've got a lot of good life out of it, but it's time to renew it.
Okay. Okay. That's makes sense. Go for it.
The other thing I want to mention too is codes have changed since the pools were first constructed.
Oh.
So, where our lighting met code 1982, 1984, those codes have changed. The depth of the pool required in the dive tank has changed. The air handling, the circulation of air, the cubic feet per minute has changed. So in addition to the age of the pools, the codes have changed. And anytime we do any renovation or begin to do any renovation out there, we will have to bring it up to code, up to the new codes.
Okay. And so this is in a simple way, health and safety issues, as well as just blindly following a code.
Absolutely. And, the thing to remember is we have 140,000 plus people visit those facilities a year.
Whoa.
A lot of wear and tear over the years.
Sure enough. I know, let's go, this money that would come from the bond, if approved, if a person were to, after the work has been done, arrive in the pool, what would they notice most as being different?
Okay, that's significant changes. At the Wasilla pool, for example, the entire pool is going to be bigger so that we can host swimming meets at the Wasilla pool.
Okay.
The actual configuration of the pool will change. It'll be more than just a coat of paint. The lighting will be different. The air handling will be different. The locker rooms will be different. It will be almost taking it down to the bare walls and then rebuilding it. New pool liner. A new signage, a new staff area. It will be a complete rebuild at both pools.
Okay, so both of them be done that way. Mm-hmm. These pools pretty much have roughly the same usage, or does one get used more than the other?
It depends on which program you're talking about. Both of them seem to do very well in terms of lessons teaching kids how to swim.
Okay.
The lap swimmers seem to be a little more prolific at the Palmer Pool, but the open swim seems to do a little better at the Wasilla Pool.
Okay. Who operates the pool?
The Matsubara.
Okay. And historically, that was a change that occurred, I guess you smile a bit.
Well before our time.
Oh, yeah. But not before mine, because I remember it. I remember the switchover.
You remember it transferring from the school to the borough?
Yeah, yeah. I'm an old guy. I've been around here a long time, more importantly. No, because one of the interesting things, you know, to show my own sense of this, my kids, others have spent a lot of time in those pools, and it's been a wonderful place, kids, grandkids, for people to learn how to swim. Number one, and as a lifelong activity. So I've noted that people have been using it for a long, long time. And I also noted that back in the day, it was tied intimately into the school program so that you had regular use by high schools that were right there. You had a lot of students, you had classes, et cetera, et cetera. And that seems to have diminished a bit over time.
I will say that the elementary school program where they bus the kids in have diminished a little bit, but we still support the physical education classes at both of the schools. We still have daycares that bus kids over.
Ah, okay.
And then the other thing that's, I don't want to say that's unique to Alaska, but that is certainly prolific here in the Valley is the homeschool program.
And
we have homeschool parents that take advantage of those slower times during the middle of the day to come in with their children.
Okay. So before we move on to ice rinks and trails and the rest, is there anything that we've missed saying about the pools that would help people understand the bond issue? What's going to happen should the bond pass?
I don't think so. I do want to mention, too, that Alaska has the highest juvenile drowning rate in the nation. And one of the things that the pool does do on an annual basis is about 32,000 swimming lessons teaching children how to swim. And I think that's an important concept to keep in mind.
Yes. Okay. Let's move to what you mentioned next, the ice rink. What kind of changes would happen there as a result of this bond?
So those will be some cosmetic changes, but also some operational changes. The entire floor would be replaced. We had the floor heave several years ago, and a fix was put in that is starting to show its age. But the other important thing is the refrigerant that's used there is called R22, and it's basically a substance that is no longer being manufactured, and the price per unit is going up exponentially.
Oh.
Yeah, it's created problems, and so we would actually change the substance that's used to make ice or to cause the floor to freeze to a CO2 system. And the CO2 system is much safer on the environment, much safer to be around people, obviously, and it's a substance that's taken over in Europe. It's gaining a strong foothold in Canada. And recently, the municipality of Anchorage is started to convert their rinks to CO2.
Okay.
Operates at a little higher pressure, so it will require some changes, obviously, below the floor. But it does get us away from that very high cost of maintaining Freon in this R22 in the system.
Okay. And how long would it take to do all of those things at the rink?
It will take arguably 9 months from beginning to end. It will certainly affect our skating program.
Right.
We will sort of push our skaters to the other two facilities during that time frame, much like Anchorage did when they did the MAC Center. But there's no good time to do it. It will affect our skating one way or the other.
Okay, just... rolling back to the pools, how long would the pool thing take?
About the same time frame each. Okay. And we would, everybody wants to know which pool is going to start first. We will start with Wasilla so that it doesn't affect the ability to hold swim meets in the valley.
Okay, so you still have one pool functioning. Okay.
Absolutely.
Got it. Okay. All right. Anything more about the rinks before we move to trails?
Again, that facility, a little over 60,000 people a year visit it. It's been there since the early 80s. And you will see some cosmetic changes as well as some changes in the locker rooms, changes in the staff area, changes in the concession area as well.
Okay. All right. All right. Now we have trails, and you mentioned a large number of them. Where are they? Are they spread all over the place or concentrated? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, there's nine trails projects. Not only are they geographically spread out throughout the borough, but they're also diversified in terms of use. There's multi-use trails, there's pedestrian trails. So not only did we try to have trails for different user bases, but mm-hmm. also geographically spread out throughout the borough.
Okay. Okay, so give us an example of a couple of them, just in so that people would have a specific reference to think about, have they been on that trail, and then a little bit about what we mean by an improvement.
Okay. Up north, you have like the Ridge Trail out of Talkeetna. Also up north, you got the Hesler Norris Trail System, which is a winter and multi-use trail. We got the Matanuska Riverfront Trail north and south, which is, you know, down here, just outside of Palmer.
Okay.
Plumly Maud.
Okay.
Which is one a lot of people have,
oh, yeah. You
know, ridden out in the Butte. And the actual work to be done in these trails will obviously depend on what type of trail it is. Obviously, a pedestrian trail is going to take far less construction activity than a wider multi-use type trail. Because one thing we want to do is develop sustainable trails.
Right.
And so we want them built right. We want them built so that they're going to be there for a while.
So I've been on a lot of trails in the area, and two in particular that I know that when changed significantly improved things, Lazy Mountain. And of course the Butte, both of these were very interesting. And I mean, over the years, back in the day, going the old way straight up and watching erosion occur, almost, as you were on the trail. And, now the viewscape has been enhanced. The trails are still demanding in their own way, but they are a bit easier, and more people are able to use them. Was the borough involved in any of those two?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the things you mentioned about the Lazy Mountain area are absolutely spot on. The original Lazy Mountain Trail is what we call a non-sustainable trail, a fall line trail.
Yep.
And as people climb that hill, they break through the vegetative matter. And then rain goes down and it creates channels. And for years, the borough tried to maintain that trail. And unfortunately, because of the topography, we just can't. So we created the Lazy Moose Trail, which is a sustainable trail. And you notice it has the switchbacks. And so what we're doing is we're taking advantage of the terrain to minimize erosion and to have a trail that's going to last for a significant amount of time with minimal maintenance. The public, though, some of them really like that workout that they get on the Lazy Mountain Trail, and we will continue to do minimal maintenance on that trail. If we see a known hazard, we will absolutely remove it. But we do also encourage people to try the Lazy Moose Trail. Conversely, the Butte, we've put a significant amount of time and resources into that facility because it's the most popular trail in the valley. Mm-hmm. You talk about wear and tear. We are up there every week. Trying to maintain a trail that is loved to death. And some of the hardening that we've done up there, some of the stairs that we've put in up there are simply to try and minimize the amount of impact that folks have up there. We absolutely want them to use it. We want them to wear it out, continue to wear it out. But at the same time, we need to put those materials in and those steps in so that it's a safe environment for people to get up and down that that hill.
Okay. Well, there's another trail system that is very popular and has some interesting aspects, and that's Crevasse Moraine. Will any of this touch Crevasse Moraine?
There's no actual trail improvements on this for crevasse moraine, but the one trail that's listed on here, the Brazil Springs Trail, is very near there and will provide connectivity with crevasse moraine.
Oh, okay.
So I don't want to mislead you by saying crevasse will see significant improvements, but you will see a connector to crevasse moraine.
As we look at the total amount of money on the bond issue, how is this spread between the three areas that we've spoken about, the pools, the ice rink, and the trail system?
In terms of actual dollar amounts, you're a little over $12 million at the pools, a little over $3.5 million at the ice rink, and a little over $2 million on the trail projects.
Okay. All right. And for the trail projects, I can see the ice rink, you know, it's kind of a unit, a place, as are the pools. The trails are kind of an interesting, complicated business. Is there a trails committee of some sort that kicked in for all of this, or how did that decision-making about those go on?
Well, I guess, first of all, we wanted to put some trail work on the bond because trails are the most popular amenity
okay.
that the borough offers the public. So to have a rec bond and do nothing with trails didn't make a whole lot of sense. So the way we come up with these specific trails projects was, first of all, there was outreach mm-hmm. to all the different user groups. You know, we have horse riding groups, we have hiking groups, we have motorized groups. We went out to all those groups to find out, you know, what trails they thought needed improvement. We also had public meetings up at the Hatcher Pass Chalet
right.
to discuss this same concept, what trail work, you know, makes the most sense in the borough. So we went out and we got people's ideas, and then we brought it back and looked at things like, well, geographic dispersal of the trails, so you know, the most people get a chance to use them. We looked at trail types. We looked at sustainability. We looked at community support. And we started out with a very, very, very long list of trails. And what's on the bond represents that effort condensed down.
Okay. So that sounds pretty comprehensive. When was the last time any significant amount, we're talking about significant amounts of money and effort. I know that you have maintenance, but been ongoing. When was the last time voters had seen a bond directed at recreational facilities? Can you remember anything?
Early 90s?
Yeah, it was before.
It's been a while.
Yeah, before we worked here. Yeah.
Okay.
I believe the last one was early, like 92 maybe.
Okay, so it's been a long time of what might be called deferred maintenance in a simple way. Have we missed anything of note to describe the specifics of what will happen should the bond pass?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Gentlemen, I'm beginning to feel our work here is done. Last comments before you get out and go back to the big building over to the east.
Sure. You know, the thing I think that most people question is, what is this going to cost me?
Mm-hmm.
How much is this going to affect my monthly income? And the calculations that we've provided publicly and through our office is quite simply this: based on the average cost of a home in the valley,
right.
The cost is going to be about $48 a year, and that breaks down to a little less than $4 a month per household.
Okay,
if the bond is successful.
Okay, all right, that sums it up. Well, thank you once again for coming in. It's a simple thing sometimes to look at a bond proposal and say there are recreational bonds that cost this much and even the amount that it will cost you. But I think you've provided the detail of specifically what and some good amount of reason why this is here and the kinds of things that the money will be going for. So have a good day.